Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
World of Secrets, Season 4. Al Fayed, Predator at Harrods.
Cash, with that you can control people.
Nothing comes for free.
Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
From the BBC World Service, this is the documentary, the home of original storytelling. I'm Myra Anubi, and welcome to this bonus episode of the podcast I host, People Fixing the World. And you're in for a treat, because this is all about solutions.
People fixing the world.
This is People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service, a programme that dials down on all the negativity around us and focuses on solution stories from across the world. I'm Myra Anubi, and you might want to pay close attention today because I'll be talking about something that you might be using right now, your smartphone. But do we use our phones too much? Well, today we'll hear about one idea that's encouraging people to use them less and find out about a movement that's getting parents to delay buying these devices for their children. My daughter Zani had her 9th birthday recently, and shortly before the big day, she reminded me that I had apparently promised to buy her a certain special gift.
You said you'll get me an iPhone 15.
Who said they'd get you an iPhone? Daddy, did you say you're getting an iPhone?
No, you said
me? Yeah. Never.
It's because she said she'll get me an iPhone 15. And the reason I really want a phone is because it's like my own mini world. Like, there's Avatar worlds, there's YouTube Kids, there's YouTube, there's WhatsApp, messages, there's so
much. Why do you need all those things? You're just like,
I know, but like, sometimes if you need your own space, you can just go into your mini world. It's just like having, like, you can bring that mini world with you everywhere you go. Even to the toilet if you really wanted to.
No phones in the toilet. Now, we have an old phone that she occasionally uses to call her friends, but I don't really want Zani to have her own phone. That's because I don't want her to go into her own mini world. I want her to live in our world with me, her dad, her brother. And frankly, I'm worried about how much time she'll spend on her own device and what she might even see there. I mean, she's only 9 at the end of the day. But at the same time, I don't want her to feel left out because some of her friends already have smartphones, and there's a chance that she'll miss out on play dates or kids' trends, cat videos, or online chats with her besties. So I'm torn between wanting her to be in our world and also letting her be in her own mini world with her friends. In the end, we did not buy Zani a smartphone for her birthday, but she did get a big pajama party. And by the way, I do throw the very best parties.
Happy birthday, Zani!
Now, after all the girls had calmed down from their pillow fight, I had a question for them.
Do you want a phone?
Yes! Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I have a phone, and I think children should have phones, because if they get lost or if they don't know where to go, they can just call someone.
Why do you think your parents don't want you guys to have phones?
Because we might get, like, way too addicted to it and then be on it, like, every single second and then just stay upstairs locked in our room all day.
And they are right. Children who have phones are spending a lot of time on them. A US survey found that on average, 11 to 14-year-olds spend, get this, 9 hours a day looking at their screens for entertainment. That's a lot of time that they could be doing other things in, like reading books, studying, or even playing with friends. And while being online either on your phone or tablet, it has some benefits, these devices have a negative impact on children as well. For girls especially, social media seems to be the problem. Studies show that girls who spend more time on social media are more likely to be anxious or depressed, and the use of social apps has been linked to poor sleep. Even so, kids still have smartphones. In the UK, for example, 60% of 8 to 11-year-olds have their own smartphone. So as a parent like me, I'm just left wondering, when is the right time that children like Zani should have these devices? Well, it's exactly this agonizing debate that led two English moms to have a conversation that unintentionally kickstarted a global movement called Smartphone-Free Childhood. And I had a chat with one of those moms, Daisy Greenwell.
So it started when my old friend Claire and I, we'd been worrying for quite a while about our daughters, who are both 9 and kids in their class, were starting to get phones. And we really felt like we didn't want to do that, but it felt like extremely hard not to do it, because everyone I spoke to said, yes, it's a nightmare getting your child a phone, but you've got no choice, you have to, because everyone else is doing it, you can't leave them on their own. So Claire and I decided to start a WhatsApp group to support each other, and I posted about it on social media and it went viral. The group was full, so we encouraged people to start one in your region, in your county, and they sprung up all over the country, right in front of our eyes. It was amazing. Now there's over 100,000 people in the UK who are in our community.
I'm just going to take you back for a second, Daisy. I have a 9-year-old, and increasingly we're having these conversations about her wanting a phone. Do you think I should get her one?
I do not think you should get her one. Definitely not. What we advise people is say, wait till 14 to get a smartphone and wait till 16 before you get social media.
Oh, wow. Wait till 16. I don't know how my daughter would feel about this, because she desperately wants to be on social media.
Yeah, I know. It's a really, really tricky one that like parents to navigate. But if you're her 5 best friends also don't have one, I don't think she'll care. What's most important is to have people in your school that aren't getting phones. So we've encouraged people to start a WhatsApp group, a smartphone-free childhood WhatsApp group in their school, to invite other parents to join that WhatsApp group so that they can get together and start talking about it. And then if they decide to do it, then we've got this parent-packed process, which they can do, which is you survey the whole school, find out everyone's views, and then ultimately you end up where you take a pact by class for anyone that wants to. So you can, you know, have 10 of you all getting together and agreeing with each other, let's not get a phone.
In just a few months, the Smartphone-Free Childhood campaign has grown rapidly. Schools in the UK are getting involved, and some have taken the unusual step of writing to parents to ask them not to buy their kids smartphones. And guess what? I recently received an email from my daughter's school about this very same campaign. But away from the UK, this movement has gone global. There are now similar groups linked to it in 18 countries around the world trying to delay when kids get smartphones. And here are two leaders from the movement in Brazil and in Kenya.
Hello, Myra. Thank you for having me here at People Fixing the World. My name is Mariana Ochoa. I am from São Paulo, Brazil, and I am very excited to talk to you about our movement called Movimento Desconecta. We're 6 moms from the same school. Inspired by smartphone-free childhood, we've touched on an issue that is urgent to parents here in Brazil as well. And right now, we have already amassed 32,000 followers.
Hello, Myra. This is Calvin Odera from Nairobi, Kenya. I had already started observing how children were attached to their devices, and I started studying about the effect of screens. So far, we are a group of parents, teachers, caregivers. We attend to community sessions where we talk with community members. We attend to churches to create awareness, schools, and community-based organizations.
That's Calvin from Kenya and Mariana from Brazil. I'm Myra Anubi, and this is People Fixing the World.
He owned iconic luxury brands.
Harrods was the ultimate glamorous shop.
Most famous people in the world coming there.
But Mohammed Al-Fayed used his wealth and power to control more than just his business interests.
Mohammed Al-Fayed was like an apex predator.
World of Secrets, Season 4. Al-Fayed, Predator at Harrods, from the BBC. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Smartphone-free Speaking to Daisy from Smartphone Free Childhood made me reflect on how I use my phone. And if my husband and I are always on our phones, can we really blame Zanny for wanting to spend so much time on the old smartphone we have at home? So I did what we usually do as a family in these situations. I called for a family meeting with my daughter, husband, and six-year-old son.
Okay, guys, let's sit down. Let's sit down. So this meeting is about phones, right?
Yeah.
Do you think we use phones a little or a lot?
I'd say
we use them okay.
Who in the family probably uses their phone the most?
Daddy.
Okay.
Daddy, every day.
Daddy's the most, and then Zanny.
And then Malcolm.
Mama, I do not.
Like, you barely use a phone, right?
A switch.
Okay, so do you guys think we could go a whole week without using the smartphones?
No.
Yes.
Why?
Daddy.
Daddy, are you happy to, like, try not use your phone all the time for the next week? But then Malcolm and Zanny cannot touch a smartphone for a whole week. And Mommy, too.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Now, a couple of days after our family meeting, I took action and got myself what's called a dumb phone or a brick phone.
I have the phone, it's on and it's very basic. I have nothing, no WhatsApp, no Instagram, no TikTok, no LinkedIn. All I have is the clock, calendar, calculator, and a torch. I suppose a torch will come in handy.
Now, I would love to say that this was a breeze and we got the hang of it, but in truth, I would be lying.
So, Zanny and I are taking a walk. Say hi, Zanny.
Hi.
And that's because it's one of those days when we cannot use a smartphone, so we're trying to figure out what to do with our time, our spare time. But it's cool, right? We're doing a mommy daughter walk.
Just chilling.
Zanny, how have you found it, not having a phone until now? This is what, day four?
Hard and tiring.
Really? What do you miss the most?
Just scrolling on it, on all my messages and stuff.
She has a WhatsApp bestie group that she checks on one of Dad's old phones, and she's missing that. Yeah, I've also missed, like, many things on my phone. In the beginning, I needed it because I needed the maps. I needed to go to a different location and I needed to access my maps. And then after that, it was just one thing after the other. I couldn't, like, pay for stuff the way I usually do. I didn't know half of what was happening around the world because I didn't have access to news updates. But anyway, it's day four and we've managed. So
Look forward to the week.
Let's look forward to the week.
Stick around to find out if we made it to the end of the week. Now, what I did wasn't new. People everywhere are experimenting with not using their phones for small bits of time. Like in our next project. It's a group in the Netherlands that's called the Offline Club that helps adults learn how to swap screen time for real time. They hold regular pop-up events in cafes around the city where you have to lock your phone up at the door. Now, despite being a very heavy phone user herself, the BBC's correspondent in the Netherlands, Anna Holligan, went to a cafe in the vibrant capital city of Amsterdam to try this out.
Welcome. So glad to have you here. So you can hand in your phone with me. So it's locked away during the whole event.
The woman at the door, Naveen, takes my phone and places it in what looks like a hotel mini fridge.
It looks like it doesn't fit. Maybe I'll... Oh, okay.
No. I will make it fit.
Okay. So that's it. My phones are in the...
That's it.
It's locked.
Locked in.
Inside, it's a hip cafe. Exposed brick walls, quirky plant pots. People are getting settled on sofas. They're sipping on kombucha or fresh fruit smoothies, pulling out books and notepads.
My name is Ilya. I'm one of the co-founders of the Offline Club. The first thing people do when they come to the offline club is hand in their phone, and we lock it up in our phone hotel. We do that because we really don't want people at all to even have to think about their phones. It's been scientifically proven that even when you have the phone turned off in the same room as you are, you experience subconscious stress.
I am a foreign correspondent. I'm a mother. I mean, I feel like it's going to make me more anxious not being able to know if I'm needed somewhere.
I think in the first 10 minutes it might be uncomfortable because we're so dependent on our phones. Once you have done this a couple times, you realize that things can wait.
All right, so here goes. The three-hour event's broken up into four chunks. Later on, we're all going to talk to one another. That's fine. I'm good at talking to people. But first, we are encouraged to just sit quietly and phonelessly. Just looking around and everyone looks quite chilled. They're just hanging out, reading, drawing. There's someone making some jewellery. Well, everyone seems to be completely and mindfully immersed in the moment. I think I need to really work on this digital decompression. After an hour, it's time to get up and speak to the other people in the cafe. There's a gentle murmur at people asking how they found out about the event, mostly via Instagram. I head over to the woman who's making jewellery. When I was sitting over there, I noticed you swinging on this sofa, and I thought, I wonder if they know each other. You're strangers, and yet you're here sharing a swinging sofa. I don't think this would happen in many places.
Yeah, I really like this super bright yellow sofa that's swinging. I just thought, this is the space for me. I really believe that it's important to take some time off of my screen, and I think it's way more meaningful when you share this experience with somebody else.
It's a beautiful setting. It's like, I'm just thinking, wow, that would look so good on Instagram. Do you feel like a frustration that you can't capture this and put it online and get the dopamine hit of all of those likes it would generate?
Actually, I feel relief. I really feel relief of not having to do it, knowing that I can't.
For many of us, our phones have become integral, replacing the need to carry things like cash, cards, travel passes. And it's easy to forget just how much we rely on them until you need something, like coffee. I gave my phone in. Uh-huh. And can I open a tab so that when I get my phone back, I can pay?
Yeah, a lot of people already did that. I didn't even think about that myself.
I gave it in, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get a coffee. And they're like, oh.
What we've discovered so far is that there's really a need for connection in today's world. So we didn't expect people to also really come for the social part, to meet people in a very low-key, easy way without social pressure.
I think a lot of us are craving authentic connections with people that don't have to do with Instagram or social media. I work in social media, or that's how I started. It's really toxic. I've seen just the addiction rise and the need to be on the phone. It scares me a little bit. I wish we could go rewind the clock.
At the end of the event, the team of hosts, including Naveen, offer some words of inspiration about how to carry this offline euphoria into our everyday digitally connected lives. I'm surprised to see not everyone's dashing to retrieve their phone from the fridge-type phone hotel locker, but there is a small queue.
You were one of the first to queue and get your phone back. What does this moment feel like?
Feels like, to be honest, because I'm going to be back to my phone addiction. I wouldn't call it addiction, but usage of phone. But yeah, I'm going to learn all the ideas they were given to kind of limit my phone usage.
Why were you so eager to get it back?
Oh, no, I think I was not actually.
You're one of the first.
No, I was here, I came and I was like, yeah, I just gave it.
You weren't like itching?
No.
You've put your phone back on to get directions, yes, but also to share contact details with each other.
Yeah.
That's a connection. In the real world.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah, I didn't expect it, honestly, like to happen it like this, but I am happy.
I didn't expect it either, but I've really enjoyed my time at the offline club, and I'm maybe even just a bit reluctant to be returning to the updates and interruptions of the real world.
I've got Anna who brought us that report. And Anna, where are you right now?
I'm in a park in Amsterdam, just around the corner from that cafe.
People actually pay to go for this event, right? Can't they just do what I did, for example, just sit home and put your phone away?
I think not everyone has your willpower, Myra. Right.
Well, I wasn't even sure I would have that willpower.
Well, I think a lot of people need an external intervention because they feel as though they are addicted to their devices. And so going through something like this kind of consolidated the experience and made it real, even though we weren't sharing images online for likes.
Yeah. No, I can understand that, doing it with someone else. Like, I guess I felt better doing it with my family as well. And is this happening anywhere else?
Yes, the offline club is taking off. So they've just held their first event in Copenhagen in Denmark. And there are other initiatives too. So there's a restaurant in Italy that's offering people free bottles of wine if they hand their phones in.
Could you send me details to that after this?
Uh-huh. I'll ping you the directions.
But also, I mean, people only do this for small periods of times, right? So you were there for about 3 hours. Is that really enough? Did that make a difference for you?
I think the idea is that it has an impact when you leave the cafe. And it has had an impact for me, much more profound than I expected. Going through the offline club experience really made me much more aware of how it's okay to be unavailable sometimes and be more present with the people who you're actually with.
Good luck to you, Anna, and thank you so much for what you've shared today.
I am actually going to switch off now.
Okay. Now, as for my own detox from smartphones, I want to say that I did manage to make it to the end of the week, but I also did really struggle. I'm just so used to having these apps and I depend on so many of them for different things. But the thing that really surprised me was the impact that this experiment had on my kids. So it's been a week trying not to use a smartphone. Did you think it was better at home or worse when we weren't using the smartphones?
Better when we wasn't using the smartphones.
Why?
It's because it's not like human beings. Smartphones are not that important. They're not your family, are they?
No, they're not. What do you guys think, Zani?
If you just sit and think, you can realize that people are turning into robots. Like, all they do is wake up, eat, phone, sleep, food. Wake up. Like, they don't have any time for anything else, and the only thing they have time for is the phone.
Like, everyone's becoming like a robot. So do you think you can survive now? I mean, you've survived a whole week without a phone, right? So do you think you can survive without a smartphone?
No.
Well, I have to admit, I feel the same way as my daughter. After doing this experiment, it became very clear I do need my smartphone. So at the end of the week, Zani and I sat down and we came up with a compromise. She would have 10 minutes of phone time in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening. Now, this is something that works for us, but I'm interested to find out, are there any other suggestions that you have that could help us spend less time on our smartphones? It's funny, but I will ask you to send us a message or a voice note through your phone to the number +44 8000 321 721. Once again, that's +44 8000 321 721. You can also send us an email to peoplefixingtheworld@bbc.co.uk. You've been listening to People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service. We've got a wealth of episodes for you to delve into, from magic mushrooms and mental health to kangaroo mothercare for premature babies. Just search for People Fixing the World wherever you're listening to this podcast.
He owned iconic luxury brands.
Harrods was the ultimate glamorous shop.
The most famous people in the world coming there.
But Mohammed Al-Fayed used his wealth and power to control more than just his business interests.
Mohammed Al-Fayed was like an apex predator.
World of Secrets, Season 4. Al-Fayed, Predator at Harrods, from the BBC. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.